Hi, Kath, compulsive overeater. I am happy to be here with all of you. I did not do my hair today, which is not so bad, with the exception of if I was asked to be recorded for my face, I would be, yeah, slightly less able, or at least slightly less willing. It's been, yeah, I feel like it's been such a journey for me in recovery, and it's been such a gift. In the fact of how much more of myself I have now. My heart sings a little when people correct themselves with they, them pronouns, because I'm just like, oh, people are trying. Good job. And it is, yeah, my life is so colossally different today than it was before I came into recovery. Prior to coming into recovery, I was codependent and stuffing with food and usually toggling both of those. And one was loud if the other was quiet, and food was just always loud. And I wouldn't have gotten into any recovery program because I was obstinate and I'm contrary by nature, and would have just said no if anyone had offered me anything. But I got into a relationship with a person who's now my wife, who had been in a people program for a long time. And after some fight where I had just literally made chaos for no good reason, because that was the two things that I like stuffed with was chaos and food. She said, yeah, we have to break up if you're unwilling to go to a people program. And so, as codependents do, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go to recovery for that because I want to keep this relationship. Which literally, you could just take that microcosm and apply it to the whole rest of my life because that was true everywhere. I would have done things like that. I would do great things if it was the only option and it was for someone else. You know, quote unquote, I was the ultimate victim. And then the whole time I was just stuffing, 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 stuffing. There was never enough to fill this, never enough love, never enough admiration, never enough praise, just stuff, 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 stuff. And I worked the 12 steps in that program. And when I worked step four, I remember around that time my sponsor said, there might be something for you in OA, to which I physically balked. I'm pretty sure my body actually went when she said it. And then in my ninth step, she was like, cool. So, one of your amends is you get to go to OA. You just get to try it and just see. I think I just rattled off my weights for the last 30 years. And she was surprised by my ability to do that. And I was confused because I thought everyone could do that. Just knew it. They weighed forever for because they love numbers. Like, that was what I told myself. I love numbers. It's not because I'm a raging food addict who's utterly unchecked. And so, in her gentle way, she said I had to go. And so I went. I picked a sponsor because she looked like my ex-girlfriend. Remember that chaos part that I said before? I was still doing it. And she was a really great sponsor, actually. I do not, 0 out of 5 stars for doing that, picking that way, but she actually was a great sponsor. But she relapsed after I finished the second step. And then I took that as a free ride to take the food plan where I was like losing some weight and just go ahead and we work my people program and not this one and expect to get the benefits of both. It did not work. Again, 0 out of 5 stars, do not recommend. I stayed what I would have then called abstinent. It's not what I would call abstinent now. For a period of time. And as things do, I slid. But honestly, I never got neutrality around food. So I was never abstinent. But I thought that I was, and I was clutching, clawing, white knuckling at that abstinence. And I'm sure I was miserable to be around. I was miserable to be inside of. So I can't imagine what it was like to be my wife or the people around me at that point. And so I did that for a period of time, and then the pandemic happened, and my wife and I had been, we had two young kids by then, and I had been struggling just in general with feeling like my body was my own. I worked fully remotely even before the pandemic, so just kind of crippling loneliness, so stuff, 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 stuff. But like mitigated stuffing, careful stuffing, a lot of like guilt and shame offsetting the want to stuff. That was the constant fight within me, was the binge and then the guilt and shame that I would like stop the binging with. But always the thoughts were just controlled by food or the guilt around food, 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 food all day long. We were in couples counseling and I said, you know, I've just been trying to get back on my food plan, which is what I called abstinence at that point. And I said, it's just been like a few times. And my wife was like, it's been like 30 times, Cass. And I knew at that moment that not only was she right, that she actually was not right, because it was way more than 30. I had only told her about the times that I'd made it to the end of the day on that food plan. The millions of other times that I started and stopped within 5 minutes, within an hour, within however long it was, I had never even told her about. And somebody had told me along the way, I would go to OA meetings like intermittently. So I had gone to one here in New Orleans, and somebody had was there who had 30 years of abstinence, complete abstinence from all of her alcoholic foods. And I thought that was nuts. But I asked her how she did it. And then she told me a meeting that she went to. And I said, I don't have time to go to that because that's during car line for my kids. And she said, oh, great. So there's actually 3 hours of meetings each day. And so maybe you can make it in one of those times. And I was like, oh, I cannot. That's really, that whole time is actually super busy for me. And she was like, cool. So they're recorded. You just get the recordings. And I was like, I am out of excuses. And then I still didn't do it for another year, 6 months, a year, something like that. But when this happened, where I realized like I'm at a place where my marriage is about to end, I'm making people utterly miserable. And I'm utterly miserable. I am desperate. I had that gift of desperation. I remembered that meeting, and I remembered her saying that her recovery came from there. So I listened to the recordings, and then eventually I started listening to the live meetings. And what I heard was a bunch of people who had years and years and years of recovery, and they had food neutrality, which I didn't even know what that was, because that seemed like a literal fantasy to me, because I didn't know what it was like to live without that. So I stayed on the end, and I listened for someone to say that they give sponsor names if you listen to the live one. So I listened for someone. She had a Brooklyn area code, and I had lived in Brooklyn for 10 years. It's a pretty queer place. So I was like, great. This person has a Brooklyn area code. They're going to be great. She was Orthodox. So I would say not probably would have been my first choice for awesome places for queer people. But as HP would have it, HP's plans are always better than mine. She got the gift of, as I actually stopped stuffing with food and actually got food neutrality, all of which she helped me to do because she had a ton of things that I wanted in OA recovery. Gender stuff loaded up for me in a way that it had not before. And this time I was so willing to like love it and accept it, both because times have changed and because I'm not so scared anymore because I have a higher power. So unlike, you know, being queer, which that fight was like long and drawn out and highly dramatic, as most things in my life were, this got to come up so gently and kindly and was, yeah, much more met with open arms. She got to experience that, which was such a gift, because I later found out that she had a teenage child who was also coming out as trans. And so what a gift to us both. And I was like, ah, I see what you did there, higher power. She remains my OA sponsor today and is an excellent sponsor, and I'm happy to have her exactly as she is. In that, she gave me the gift of telling me how she got food neutrality, which is pretty simple and shockingly simple, which is she worked the steps in the Big Book and she gave up her alcoholic foods completely and entirely in all substances. And that to me was bananas. And I thought I would never be able to do it, but somehow I had enough of the gift of desperation to do it. And I did do it. I worked the 12 steps with her, and I have had 2.5 years, just shy of 2.5 years, of abstinence from all of my alcoholic foods, which is amazing because I have actual food neutrality. And for the first time, I had a mind that didn't think, when's my next bit? Like, how am I going to get the next thing? How am I going to sneak it? How am I going to do it? And then simultaneously, as soon as that part was over, the next wave came of like the guilt of the binge and telling myself I'm never going to do it again. And then getting tired of telling myself and the calling being so loud that then I would do the whole thing again. The first time that wheel stopped and I got my brain as my own, which was, yeah, it was like being a new person. It's not all rainbows, but it's a whole lot better than it was before. What I get now is I get to show up earnestly for my family and friends. I get a program. I was really lonely before I came into OA. I was especially lonely for queer spaces because working remotely, I didn't see as many queer people as I did before, unless I sought them out. And now I go to predominantly all queer meetings, except for that Big Book study that I do daily on the phone. And so I have lots of queer people in my life and lots of queer sponsees and fellows. and my life feels richer in ways that it did not. I would have told you I had time for none of this. I was like, I barely have time for the one meeting of the people program that I go to. And now I go to like 9 meetings a week. And honestly, sometimes I go to more just for fun. And then that's on top of like the, you know, the fellowship work and the sponsorship work. And all of it's a gift. And that is, yeah, bananas to me. And my wife and I still go to couples counseling, and we just finished it just before I started this meeting. There was a real gift in, we were talking about something. She was, you know, agitated about something that I had done the day before. Before coming into recovery, if you told me I did something wrong, it made me feel like I was wrong. I am wrong. I am broken. I am unlovable. That was like my underlying fear of everything. If anyone gets to know me, they will see that. They will leave. I will be alone. And that fear ran my life. And what it made was somebody who was unwilling to look at things that I was actually responsible for. And so what she said was something reasonable, which is sometimes in this specific instance, you do this thing where you don't let me take over. And I'm capable of taking over. And what I got to do in this moment was say, oh, you're actually right. And there's this weird old part of me that thinks that I'm somehow more capable for X, Y, and Z reason. And that's not true. And that's nothing to do with you or your parenting. That's me. That's old. That's from childhood. That's me fighting with my parents, not with you. I got to do that like lifetime and cry. That's why my eyes are puffy. Again, why I didn't want to be video recorded. But the crying came real time and the vulnerability came real time. And it didn't have anything to do with her or her outcome or like whatever happens with that. But I got to just like be there authentically and be like, oh yeah, that's this. Cool. I'm going to take that. I'm going to do a 10 step on that. I'm probably going to make some calls on that. And I'm going to get to like work around that. I get to have that freedom. So now so much of my program has nothing to do with the food because the food is so quiet. But my primary meetings, the majority of those, you know, 9-ish meetings a week, vast majority, all but one, are OA meetings, not because I need to talk about the food, because I don't. But I like to be in like spaces. I have to remember how crazy it was, because I use her for when I reference this, but my pronouns for my chaotic monster that lives just over the fence. She looks real jacked up, as if like she's had a real rough night. She's always ready to party. And at any point she'll pop up over that fence and be like, should we fuck stuff up? Yes. And I have to continuously tell her no, and just be like, relax, just like lay over the, I get to love her because my God, I needed her to survive. She got me here. She got me to recovery. Thank you. Over the fence, jacked up, chaotic human. But you don't get to run the show today. I don't need you to run the show today. I get to love you, but I don't need you to run the show today. And she gets to be there and I get to be here. And that is such a gift, because this is such a more authentic version of me. But yeah, she's like, should we mess stuff up? And so much of that, should we mess stuff up, will come around. First, I say the food is the last thing to go, because I call it the naming. I don't actually desire any of the foods that I don't eat the vast majority of the time, like way more than 99.99% of the time. But I've noticed that if I call it emotionally constipated, if there's like a 10th step or something that's coming up that I have not dealt with yet, I call it the naming. Someone will be eating something and I'll just name it. I'll be like, my wife is eating, fill in the blank. And when I start to name foods, I know that that's like, it's like I can turn it to me and be like, oh, something's up. What's going on with you? Are you like, you've done the 10 steps that you need to do? If there's something that like little Cass needs to like come out and say, like, what's going on? And it's loving and it's gentle, but it just lets me know that there's work to be done. And just recently I've been given the gift of things are often very easy these days. Not because things are innately easy. There's still hard things, but my brain is not in the food. My brain is not in the people. I get to live authentically. And so like things just in general are easier, which is nice. But the gift that I've been given is sometimes I equate how easy things are going with how good I am at recovery. I've still got good kid disease. There's part of me that just wants to do the best, to be the best. And I was reminded that my goodness, I am still worthy just by existing and lovable just by being a child of God. And that doesn't change and it never will. It's always been true and it'll always be true. I just needed to know it. And then I need to be reminded of it. And all that work that I do in sponsorship and in fellowship helps me remember what it used to be like. It helps me remember chaos casts over the fence and how quick chaos casts is to make a mess. But more than that, it just helps me remember that I'm actually not here to be finished. I'm not here to get to some point where I get the magical rainbow that then I write off on and I have no more problems and no more feelings. I'm actually here to like relate to people, you know, that like Miss Frizzle in the US, we have like a, you know, Miss Frizzle was a big science person, but she used to say like, make mistakes, get dirty, learn something. I'm butchering it, but I'm here to do all those things. I'm here to like get dirty, make mistakes, get spiritually dirty, even make mistakes, learn. That's all part of it. I'll never stop doing that. And if I did, it'd probably be really boring. So today I get to like show up for what is today. And that was getting to see a deeper version of how I wanted my child to be parented, because I was so scared of the same harm that came to me as a child coming to him this time around, neurodiversity. But the gift was, it was actually not about him at all. It was about some tiny version of me who's like still hurt about some treatment with that. And so I didn't go to the food. I didn't go to the people. I was honest and authentic, and now I get to go do the work. And tears may come. And before I came into recovery, I never cried. And I would only cry if I was, and it would be like angry, angry boink tears the whole time. Because I just couldn't, it was such a loss to me. I couldn't handle the vulnerability of crying. Now there are whole meetings where I'll just cry the whole time. And that's beautiful too, because I get to like be in my feelings. If my feelings are sad, I get to be in that. If my feelings are happy, I get to be in that. I get to show up for whatever today has to offer. And so again, my higher power's will is just phenomenally better than my will. And that will always be the case, I suspect, but I will report back if it's ever not. And what I've gotten in exchange is much more than I could have asked for in this life. I remember at some point somebody asked me, like, what do you want when you grow up? And I was like, I like want enough money to like be comfortable. And I like a family. Like that was the things that I wanted. And I got those. But what I got is like not the pushover spouse that I would have asked for. I had one of those for a while and I was actually super bored with it. But I didn't get that. I got like a persistent, like, you know, pushy yet somehow utterly wonderful, who like pushes me to be my best spiritual self spouse. I got kids who are simultaneous reflections of parts of me and reflections of the beautiful light of higher power, but at the same time push my buttons so I get to do more spiritual work. I have a house beyond my wildest dreams. I would have liked to have a pool at some point in my life, and I have this beautiful like a saltwater pool that is more than I could have ever asked for. I have a job that's more than I could have asked for. Like it is just utter abundance. And so I think I came for, I don't even know if I came for the vanity. I like came for other people. And then with OA, I came because I was desperate. And then I liked the vanity part of it. My body looks real different than it did before. I think my max weight was around maybe 300 pounds. Don't ask me to convert that to any other terms. But I, it's, yeah, considerably less than half of that at this point. So I feel like authentic on the outside in reference to like gender and how I would have seen myself. But more than that, I feel like authentic on the inside. And it just feels, yeah, so much better than I would have asked for myself. And the food was part of that. And so for me, it's like the gift is, I heard someone once, I suggested a second program for them. And they said, can I have to do this twice? And I was like, the funny thing is I have two programs now. And if I ever had to have a third, I think I would go so joyfully, because what I've gotten from this one was much more than I could have gotten from the other one. And it was different, but important. And so, yeah, I would go joyfully into a third, a fourth, and so on. Because if I take higher power with me, and if that is what is like being led, I know it's going to be good on the other side. I think the overall topic or feeling for today is just utter gratitude. Because as the defects come now, I just get to be like, wow, I needed you to survive at some point in my life, just like Chaos Cast, right? I needed you, and I actually love you. And so often, as led by higher power, you are such a beautiful asset in my life. But I don't need you in that form anyway anymore. And like, just utter gratitude today. So yeah, with that, I pass. I don't know whose timing, but I feel like that's been longer than 20 minutes.